Turn in your Bibles again this evening to the letter of 1 John. We had at least 3 points we wanted to make on this passage this morning, and time got away from us. We got the first point in that we wanted, and we spoke concerning God being light. God is light, and we spoke quite a bit concerning walking in the light and God's character, the solemn warning that John gives us to guide us in the ways we should go. And we learned some lessons that were very practical from the fact that as the allegory or the illustration used is light. And there's some things we should draw from this solemn declaration of God being light. In Him is no darkness at all. And we should learn to reverence Him and to worship God. And we should learn to fear God. And now, I'm not talking about a slavish fear, but I do mean a genuine fear of God. Some people say, well, it's a reverential fear. Yes, we're supposed to have a reverential fear of God, but also God is a consuming fire. God is to be feared, and He is our God, and it is indeed a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. So we should learn to fear Him. We should learn to look upon sin in the light of God's character, and we should also learn the foolishness of trying to deceive God or hide anything from Him. He is light, penetrating, discerning, and consuming life. So we see this evening that in the second place, a pretense is indeed folly. John faithfully warns us against all pretentious religion. Now pretense is an attempt to make something that is not the case appear true. Something that is untrue, and you try to make it appear true. So this is what I'm speaking of, is the pretense and the folly of being pretentious with God. It is, and to be before God, to be pretentious, to pretend that there's something true that is not, is indeed folly because God is light. Hypocrisy before God is insane. And we read verse 6 of John chapter 1. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And then verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And then verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. So you understand that pretense is indeed foolish. So we see that in these verses, the apostle, he categorically denounces all unregenerate men, and he calls them as unbelievers. He said they are liars. That's what he called them. If we say that we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with Him and with one another. But he says if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. So all unbelievers are indeed liars before God. The fact is that He places them here in these verses, if you notice, in three categories. There are religious liars. There are self-deceiving liars. They lie to themselves. And then there are blasphemous liars that he speaks of here. They are the ones that as we see all men by nature, are liars. And we follow after our father, Satan, as natural man, who is a liar from the beginning. Rolf Barnard, I don't know if you've read much of him or heard some of his old recordings, He used to say that no honest man will go to hell. Now, you stop and think about that for a moment, because if a man is truly honest, then he has seen the light of God's glory. An honest man will confess that he's a sinner. He will repent of that sin. And an honest man will look at the Word of God and say, it's true. So Ralph Barnard used to say, a truly honest man will go to heaven. They confess their sin. They seek the mercy of God in Christ. But all unbelievers are liars. As you look at these three categories of liars, you'll see what I mean, because there are those who are religious liars. Multitudes of religious liars in the world today. And they have a mere carnal profession of religion. They have a show of religion, and they may live very righteously and very holy. They may follow the Word of God, perhaps to the letter, but they're all hypocrites. They profess a religion, they profess a godliness, but they actually live according to the principles of evil. Their very lives are evil, because their religion is a pretense, it's a lie, and they do it for selfish reasons. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. God's people do not walk in a doctrinal darkness. I don't think, or I don't suggest that believers have doctrinal infallibility. I know that we're human, and that we have indeed errors in our thinking. Some of us have different ideas. Perhaps we won't confess, but I'm not saying we're all infallible doctrinally. But all who are born of God are taught of God a few things, and they're taught of God the truth of God. Christ alone is our Savior. He is the Lord. And salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. You're taught those things. God's people, knowing the grace of God, live in godliness. They devote themselves to Christ. There's not one child of God that'll wake up in the morning and say, what can I do today to dishonor God? Their life, their aim in life is to honor God and to serve Him. And they seek to honor Jesus Christ in all things. They adore the doctrine of God our Savior and adorn it. The grace of God changes the hearts of His people, and the grace of God sets His people apart. The grace of God that brings salvation. Listen, we're told that it teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. The grace of God does that for us. True believers do not walk in darkness. That is to say that their lives are not evil lives. Their bent, their manner, the main of their life, though we're not perfect by any means, the bent of their life is not evil. They do not live in the way of darkness, and they do not live by the principles of darkness. And such an idea is an absurd lie. For what agreement is there between light and darkness? So there are indeed religious liars. And then there are self-deceiving liars that John points out here. The great majority of people are self-deceiving liars. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. That's what John said. And the truth is not in us, verse 8. Do you understand, most people, according to John, the apostle here, claim to be innocent of sin. They claim to be free from the principle of sin. They say, well, I made a mistake, but it's not sin. They say they have no original sin and no sin nature. And that's the reason they despise Christ and make a little thing of Christ, because they feel they have no need of Him. That they're willing to stand before a thrice holy God on their own merits. You find me a sinner. You find me one that really realizes, that knows for a fact in their heart that they're sinners and they sinned against God. I'll show you a believer. Someone who truly knows they're sinners. They believe God's word. Then there are the blasphemous liars that John points out. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. That's blasphemy. To make God a liar, he says, and the word, His word is not in us. What a strong and glaring indictment this is. So there are those who excuse their faults. And so they deny their guilt. And they actually dare to claim that they've never transgressed God's law. Multitudes vainly imagine that their works are good and righteous, not filthy rags, as they truly are. Such people blaspheme God and they accuse Him of lying. God, you're saying I'm a liar. You're saying I'm a sinner. That's a lie. I'm not a sinner. That's a blasphemous statement. For He declares that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He declares that there are none that doeth good, no, not one. So we see in the second place that God, that John, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, points out three different kinds of liars. And then in the third place, we see the merits of Christ. So John tenderly assures us of the merits of Christ. He says, all who are truly born again, those that have seen the light of God's perfect holiness and glory, are standing in Christ. We know that we're sinners. We know that God must punish sin. So in verse 7, he says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. He says in verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So He comforts our hearts, doesn't He, by telling us how God can be pure, how God, who is light, can be holy, and yet put away our sin. He tells us that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. He says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So in verse 7, the apostle tells us that, and he describes the character and the privileges of God's true children. He says here that all who are born again have been made a new creature. Their lives have been greatly and radically changed. We walk in the light. And Paul says that we were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. We walk in the light of God's Word. We walk in the light of God's grace. We walk in the light of the Gospel. And He says if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. So without question, we who walk in the light of God no doubt have fellowship with one another. We have that in common. And we have that in communion with one another. But John is not only talking about the fellowship of men with men. He is telling us that men who are fallen men, who were sinful men, who were depraved, men and women like you and I, that as we walk in the light, we have fellowship with God. Fellowship with God, who is life. And God and we have fellowship one with another. But how can that be? John goes on to describe it and explain how it happens. Because the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. So that makes us partakers of the divine nature. And we are made holy and pure before God by that imputed righteousness in the free justification and by imparted righteousness in a free sanctification. So how does this all work? How does the fact that we are made divine, partakers of the divine nature, how does this walk of the believer, how is it demonstrated? How does it show itself? So you see people going along living their lives. How can you tell if a person is walking in the light? Simplicity, honesty, sincerity, submission, obedience, devotion, a hatred of sin, a love for holiness, walking repentance and faith daily. We have fellowship with God, who is life, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You may say, well, how can I obtain such a state? How can I be brought into such a blessed state? And how can I obtain this cleansing? Knowing that I'm a sinner, knowing that I'm vile and depraved and unfit, how can I find this cleansing? How can I obtain this forgiveness? And he tells us in verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You got that? He says, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So there must be a confession of sin. There must be. God can. And He does forgive sin in a way that is consistent with His justice. He's able to forgive sin and cleanse us in a way that is consistent with His justice through the work of Jesus Christ, which we call substitution. Christ paid our sin debt, therefore on Calvary. He died in our stead. He suffered the judgment and the wrath of God for those who believe. The forgiveness is complete and it's instantaneous. Happens as soon as we confess, repent of our sins, and trust Jesus Christ. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You get that? He said all unrighteousness. There's unrighteousness that we probably haven't even thought of that we are involved in as sinners. And all unrighteousness, all without exception. Why then should we put in conditions and qualifications and exceptions? He is a sin-pardoning God. There is no God like unto Him in heaven or earth who freely forgives sin, Micah said. As we multiply sin, He multiplies pardon. In Isaiah 55, He says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. And He does it freely, and that for His own sake. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth, not has cleansed, or will cleanse, but cleanseth daily, continually. cleansing from our sins. The psalmist said in 130 verse 1, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. I wait for thee, Lord. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. So let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities." If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. That's the fact. We must confess our sins, trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, repent, and serve him. May God enable us to really get a hold of this message. This is the message that we need, the message that we love, and that our loved ones and friends need to know Christ and the forgiveness of sin. Brother Tim, would you come and lead us in a closing hymn?